I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer this morning and give some thanks to God for all that he has done in our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you from a variety of places and in a variety of mindsets. And in these moments, will your Spirit touch our hearts, quiet our minds, and allow us to gaze and be transformed by your loving presence. God, I thank you for the work that you enable your people throughout the world to help those who are hurting and lost and in need. I thank you that we can be a part of a network of churches that each church on its own perhaps wouldn't be able to have a super massive impact, and yet when we combine together and we ask you to bless the work, amazing things are possible. God, we know that to be true in our own lives, that there are many situations that feel very out of control or out of our control. And yet when we humble ourselves and we seek your face, we know that you will guide us forward. It may not always be in the ways that we most desire, but it will always be in the way that we definitely need. God, I thank you for each person here today. I thank you for the ways that you have blessed them and their families and communities, the neighborhoods that they live in. Will you continue your transforming work in them and through them to be able to transform your amazing world, that we would be able to be a part of this unfolding kingdom of yours. May the lost be found. May the hungry be fed. May the thirsty have enough to drink. God, we have lots to be thankful for this week, even in the midst of difficult situations. And I pray that you give each person an opportunity, whether people are staying here or traveling to different locations, whether they are being with family later on this week or doing something a little bit out of the ordinary. Will you help us to be very mindful of all that we can be thankful for? Will you turn our hearts to have that spirit of gratitude and open our eyes to both see the needs around us and to utilize our gifts to meet those needs as we are able? God, we do give you thanks. We thank you for the ability to gather together today to worship you. So now will you once again hear our hearts and receive our worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Ray and Amanda and Mike, this morning for leading us and using your gifts to serve the Lord. You know, one of the things I'm continued to be reminded of is next Sunday, believe it or not, is Advent already. Isn't it crazy? So we do have an upcoming Advent series, and it's listed in your bulletin, called Rediscover Christmas, Good News in Troubling Times. And the first Sunday, actually all of the Sundays, we look at the four big themes of Christmas, like we do many of the years: hope, peace, joy, and love. Next Sunday is finding hope in our uncertainties, and then we'll kind of engage in this journey to Christmas morning, and it's an opportunity to anticipate the coming birth of the Lord. So take this opportunity, if there's somebody in your life, maybe you've got a family member or a friend nearby that needs to hear of the hope of Jesus Christ, take the opportunity to invite them, and we trust that the Spirit of God will meet them wherever they are, and it's an opportunity to start to hear that transforming power of the good news. This morning, I want to just share one story with you from the Bible, from the book of 1 Chronicles. And at first, it may not seem like a story about thankfulness and gratitude, but trust me, it'll get there. We'll get there. And 1 Chronicles is a book that maybe you haven't spent any time in, or ever, or it's been a long time since you've been in that book. We will be reading through that book in the springtime as we complete our next round of Immerse. So we'll have a chance to read a lot of these verses together. But one of the things about First Chronicles is it sort of retells some of the events of the books of Samuel and Kings, but it includes a few other different details and it phrases things in just a slightly different way. One of the things that we know from the Old Testament is that God had given his people, the people of Israel, very detailed instructions about how they were to live and how they were to worship him. They had the creation of the tabernacle, you know, with all of the different rules and regulations, to helping them to kind of order themselves properly. And there's also the creation of the Ark of the Covenant, which was sort of the representation of God's physical presence here on earth. We also know that through disobedience, sin, that the Ark was taken by the Philistines. And they snatched it away, and for a long time, the Israelites didn't have that powerful presence of God in their lives. And they kind of got off the beaten path for a long time. Then finally, they had a chance under King David to recover the Ark of the Covenant. So I want to read some verses this morning, and I'm going to start in 1 Chronicles 13. And I'm not going to offer a whole lot of commentary, but I really want this story to sort of speak for itself. We'll make a few small points. And I hope that as we read through this, you'll be able to draw some conclusions to how we live today. 1 Chronicles 13. Let me start at the very beginning of that chapter. This is David's first attempt. That gives away a little bit already. To move the ark. It says David consulted with all his officials, including the generals and captains of his army. Then he addressed the entire assembly of Israel as follows: "If you approve, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send messages to all the Israelites throughout the land, including the priests and Levites in their towns and pasture lands. Let us invite them to come and join us." They were expecting this to be a really joyous time, a wonderful event. Verse 3, "It is time to bring back the ark of our God, for we neglected it during the reign of Saul," the first king who turned out, who kind of went bad in a bad way, and then God said, "Nope, you don't get to be king anymore." And now David is on the scene. "The whole assembly agreed to this, for the people could see it was the right thing to do." So David summoned all Israel, this is going to test me this morning, all these names, from the Shihor Brook of Egypt in the south, all the way to the town of Lebo Hamath in the north, to join in bringing the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. Then David and all Israel went to Bala of Judah, also called Kiriath Jearim. Just like a lot of places around here, they have many names for the same place, to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house. Uzzah and Ahio were guiding the cart. David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets, and their versions of a cajon probably as well. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him dead because he had laid his hand on the ark. So Uzzah died there in the presence of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah. as it is still called today. David was now afraid of God. And he asked, how can I ever bring the ark of God back into my care? So David did not move the ark into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. Imagine getting that phone call. Guess what? Friend, I need you to store something for me just for a little bit till I figure out what to do. And you can't touch it. So hopefully you don't have any kids around. The Ark of God remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he owned. So here we are. We have the Ark of the Covenant, one of the holiest, I hesitate to use the word thing, one of the holiest things that God has led his people to create, the place that would represent his presence here on earth, and it's sitting in a shed, sitting in a greenhouse in the back of your yard, you know, or in your storage shed under a tarp or something like that. And we have David, who we know has been chosen by God, anointed to be king of Israel. And he's probably thinking, what's going on here? I know this is what I'm supposed to do. I think we're following the will of God here. Why did this happen? And in the time that that ark is sitting there, David goes through a series of events in his life. And in each of them, he has to learn how to actually follow the Lord. To seek God first and to listen and to wait on God's presence and then act accordingly. And he, along with his advisors and the people around him, eventually they remember all of the instructions, this is where they had gotten off track, that the Lord gave to his people a long time earlier concerning the Ark of the Covenant. Jump forward to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. This is attempt number 2. Then David summoned the priests, Zadok and Abiathar, and these Levite leaders, Urel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. Little tongue twister. He said to them, you are the leaders of the Levite families. You must purify yourselves and all your fellow Levites so you can bring the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for it. Because you Levites did not carry the ark the first time, the anger of the Lord our God burst out against us. We failed to ask God how to move it properly. They thought they were doing the will of God. They said, we know that getting the ark from where it was back to Jerusalem is an important thing. And then they just went ahead and tried to do it. They thought, we're doing God's will, but they forgot to ask God how to do it. Verse 14, so the priests and the Levites purified themselves in order to bring the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to Jerusalem. Then the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with its carrying poles, just as the Lord had instructed Moses. The end of the chapter. So all Israel brought up the ark of the Lord's covenant with shouts of joy, the blowing of ram's horns and trumpets, the crashing of cymbals, and loud playing on harps and lyres. I'm sure everyone's making sure there's no stones in the way to do any tripping hazards. The very next chapter, 16. They brought the ark of God and placed it inside the special tent David had prepared for it. They presented burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave to every man and woman in all Israel a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. And now you know where fruitcake comes from. Every single person received a gift as well. On that day, David gave to Asaph and his fellow Levites this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Asaph is that name that you often see in the Psalms, one of the musicians who had particular gifts. So all of this has taken place. They finally get it right. They finally follow the instructions of the Lord, and they're so grateful that what do they offer? They offer this song of thanks. It's a song that I think really can stand on its own. I won't read all of it. I'll read a few sections of it this morning for us. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles and the rulings he has given. You children of his servant Israel, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let all the earth tremble before him. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Cry out, exactly, that's one of the well-known verses. Cry out, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather and rescue us from among the nations so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. And the final verse, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shouted, Amen. And praised the Lord. Immediately after this song is the chapter where the Lord makes his covenant promise agreement with David that will stand for all of time, in which we get to participate and be inheritance of today. Friends, it's appropriate to give thanks. And sometimes we're in the mood and sometimes we're not, and sometimes we think about it more, and this season is one where sometimes people think about it a little bit more. And maybe you have particular family traditions that you've engaged in. But one of the things that I like to do on the Sunday kind of around Thanksgiving is to give you, us, the church, an opportunity to give thanks to God publicly. So we actually have that microphone once again. And so if there is something that you want to give thanks to God for, a way that he has been able to bless you or open your eyes in a new way in this year, I want to give you some time and space this morning to do that. And I invite anyone who's willing to share this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. I think most, if not all of you, already know about the situation we have with our daughter, Melissa. When she was diagnosed with cancer of the brain and had a tumor in her head. And, Hope and I we met serving the Lord, and we serving the Lord. And I don't know if we thought we were immune to this type of a thing or what, but when it happened, it really shook us. And that wasn't all. There was another surprise in that they told her when they did the MRI and the checkup, oh, by the way, you're pregnant. And so that really scared us. That really tested our faith, because all we ever knew of going through chemo and stuff was that it was a very difficult thing for a child, of course, carrying a mother and a child. And you know, I can report, and I know I have many times, that she is doing well, doing great. It was scary because she also had a little girl that we were, you know, very afraid that she was going to be, you know, who knows? And you just trust in the Lord. And so many people prayed, and I appreciate that. But I thank God, because when I had my first grandchild, it changed my life. It changed me as a person. And I think about this little boy who was 1 year old. When he was born, we took a picture. They had to go in after 8 months and pull him out. We took a picture. His foot and my thumb were the exact same size. And he's still pretty tiny, I'm not going to lie. He's one. And he is just, you can just feel, I don't know, personally, I guess maybe it's me. Every time I'm around him, I feel like it's like God's gift to me, you know, to us, because he's alive, he's doing very well. There were some things we were worried about. But every single thing that we just give to the Lord, because there's no other way, the Lord, of course, has been faithful. And he would have been faithful had nothing worked out. He would have still been God. He would have still been faithful. His will would have been done, and it would have been his plan, and it would have been a good thing. But I am so thankful. We get to watch this young man every other weekend. He and his sister, who you know, it's Hey-Hey's little brother. And I am just so thankful every time I see him. His smile, there's something about him that just lights me up, and I think everyone around him. And I just thank you, Lord, for that little boy, and for certainly that family. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
For the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Yes,
his faithful love endures forever. Thanks, Huey. Mr. Ray.
I'm thankful for many things. More immediately, my health that I've been trying to address with having to not ignore the things that are happening in my body, you know, is the thing that I keep and mindful of. I mean, even when I think I needed to have dental work, it's just like, you need to go. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Take care of it. And the doctors know a lot more about me. I know they're still practicing, but you know, I'm thankful that I have some kind of direction for where I'm going in regards to some of the peripheral neuropathy that I've been dealing with. I'm thankful for Rebecca for educating me on just doing it's not simple, but an injection, you know? I mean, we're
doing awesome.
Right, self-injection is my wife. You know.
You mean they don't go in like this? No.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you have to put it in your thigh if you're doing it by yourself, because you can't get it around to your arm, you know, easily. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my wife. I mean, she is working 3 days a week now and having 4 days off. And I know she's enjoying that. And being able to go and swim, you know. The fact that both Cheese and I took a swim class, I'm thankful that, you know, these
praise the Lord
things were connected that yeah. allowed us to take this adult swimming class at no charge.
Yep.
You know, I'm very thankful for my family. I pray for my family often, and just I'm continually praying for my niece, Brianna, who's still incarcerated in Oklahoma City. And from the reports I've gotten from my sister is that she's actually reading Purpose Driven Life right now. And that's encouraging. You know, my prayer is that she's just would just be forgiving in all of her efforts, you know, to want to repent from the challenges that she's been facing. So I'm just thankful that there are things are moving, and you know, a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that we can't really see, but God is always working. I know He's working. So I'm thankful that He is also working.
Yeah.
When we don't really see the actions.
Yeah.
We see them, but that is tangible.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Ray. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Rebecca.
You were just talking about family, and you know, there's the family that we're born into, or families of origin. There's the families we choose, and then when we choose to tie our hearts to Christ, we inherit this whole family. And I mean, this we are a sample of this family all over the world. And I just, you know, we've said this before, but you're the family we choose, and we just love you all so, so much, and are so thankful for you. And you're right, Ray, we don't always see how God is working or what He's doing, but this group is so special and so unique, and we often talk about how we see the growth and the how God is teaching everyone, and how so many of you are serving in the community and in the world, and just know that we're a small group, but God knows what He's doing, and He is working in our midst and among us, and in us, most importantly, in us and in our hearts. And I don't know what He's preparing us for, and that's okay, as long as we continue to choose Him, then that is the most important thing that we can be thankful for. So. We're thankful for all of you. I'm speaking for you. I hope that's okay. But we are.
You're putting words in my mouth?
I certainly am.
Okay. The family you're born into, and then the family that you're born again into. Kenya.
So, I would like to piggyback off of that, Rebecca. Last year, around this time, my mom started her process. That led to her having a triple bypass. right around this time of the year. And I'm just thankful for having this church body that was there to pray for our family.
Yeah.
And just so the love of Christ upon us.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And through that process that was really hard for our family, we just saw the love of Christ in a real way. Like a visible, solid way that we saw Christ's presence in our family, protecting us, guiding us, lifting up our faith, living up, and encouraging us as we went through each stage of that process, and to be able to rejoice and see my mom sitting in church on Sundays.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So I'm thankful for God loving us so much to be present. Even through the hard times, he's there. He's doing something powerful in our hardest moments. And I'm just thankful that we get to receive it and know who it comes from. We know where the blessings come from. They're from God. All good things come from him. And he can use the most trying times to really just strengthen our hearts and strengthen our faith. And I'm thankful for that, looking back.
Yeah.
This is also our first Thanksgiving without Chi's father. And we're thankful for the family that we have, just to be blessed with the presence of the people that love us, and to be able to use it as a platform to strengthen our love for each other and to work through some of the garbage that's in every family. This has given us an opportunity to kind of look at things in a real way and deal with things that need to be dealt with, and I'm also thankful for that.
Yeah.
And so, this is a season of a deeper thankfulness than other seasons.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
I also just want to give thanks for friends and family, and to kind of piggyback off of what Kenya said. And also, a good friend of ours just got a phone call. He's been on the list to get a kidney for like forever, and his diabetes is really bad. But he received the call yesterday, and he can be receiving a kidney like as early as today or tomorrow. So,
wow.
Praise God for that.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We all have a past. Some is a little more darker than others. But I started out, my family got us into the Jehovah's Witness religion. And it took years to get that washed out of my brain. And thanks to Cindy for helping me. It took years to finally realize the truth and what was not the truth. So I thank God.
Yep. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Ezra.
I just want to say thanks to God for... you know, there's little moments in our life where we think, oh, no, something's going to be, you know, uncertain. But when I look back, a lot of those things are very short-lived. And God just keeps providing and keeps blessing me and my family in so many ways, you know, with opportunities, with, you know, little pockets of influence that we didn't know we have from previous relationships where people come to us and talk to us about things. And then just providing, we're like, all right, thanks God, you know, you met our needs. And then he comes through again in a way where we're like, all right, Now you're overflowing. Like, you're just showing off now, God. And so I just want to say thanks to God for that, for providing, you know, abundantly, and just, you know, for just kind of giving us direction. And I can think kind of this, the way that, you know, it's almost like he has a sense of humor about some stuff. And he's like, you were worried about what? And then, so I just want to say thanks again to God for that, and for surprising us. And also, you know, this is the first year where we're out. You know, we'll be able to go back to my uncle's house, which we've had the habit of, you know, driving down to Sacramento to visit with family. We weren't able to do that last year. And so, so just thankful for what's to come.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Anyone else have a final word of thanks? Yeah, Michelle.
I want to say thank you for me and Jose and Lila and our families. Getting aligned and us all getting back into a place of safety and happiness. And it's really, we need each other and we need people in our lives that are positive influences, positive thought, positive atmosphere, with healthy for the body, it's healthy for the mind.
Yep.
And it's healthy and things grow and they're prosperous.
Yeah.
And so,
thank you. Yeah, thanks to God.
I'm going to say thankful too. You know, Hala is so much happier now. So, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Friends, I'm thankful to God. I was reflecting 10 years ago. We had just, after years of preparation, we had had to return to the U.S. from overseas, thinking that that's where God had planted us and where we were going to, you know, potentially still be living, and then to have to be back in the States. And 10 years ago, Rebecca, close to death. And I'm really thankful for how, for the particular church that we had at that time, and the people that were able to come surround us with their love. And really, it was the first time that I can recall of really experiencing what the church can be and perhaps what the church should be. And fast forwarding to today, I'm thankful to God for restoring Rebecca's brain and whatever happened to it 10 years ago. And now to see her, like, finishing up school again and using words that I have no idea what they mean. And I can really be thankful to God. And, you know, we have such a narrow, limited view. You know, we can't really see and even if we could see the whole picture, it would be far too overwhelming for us to really appreciate and understand. And so I just want to express my thanks to God as well. I'd like to pray for us right now. And then our worship, RC Mike has prepared a song that he's going to offer as a special offering this morning. And then we'll close our time together with another song as well. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this group of people that you have gathered here today, and for the chance to hear some of their experiences and stories and expressions of thanks and gratitude. And we know that since the last time we were able to do this in person almost 2 years ago, a lot has changed and there have been many ups and downs. We've had to relearn and do things in different ways. And we are so grateful once again to be able to gather together in person, to share these experiences and to help bear one another's burdens and to be encouraged by one another. I thank you for all of that. God, will you, especially this week and in the weeks ahead, make us mindful to those around us, soften our hearts where we need to continue to be softened. Open our eyes where we need to see more clearly. It's a privilege to be able to continue walking with you on this journey, O Lord. So we give you thanks. We pray all of this in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Church, I hope that you have a wonderful week. Enjoy this Thanksgiving time, whatever you end up doing and eating and wherever you end up going. And I hope that you're able to come back here a week from now as we start this journey of Advent together in our new series, Rediscovering Christmas. Now will you receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now go into the world to love and serve the Lord God. Amen. Have a great week, friends.